I got permission from the youth leaders to throw objects at the youth if they fall asleep this morning in my message. Felicity's okay? Yeah? You guys okay with that? I'll try to keep you going here this morning. You know, I hope today is a blessing in the words I have to share this morning. And I think we all get to that point with the Bible and also with what Jesus says. Some of the things that Jesus says are not easy. They're hard. And they're hard to understand. Not my words. Take it from John chapter 6. These disciples said it here this morning with this text. It was a hard saying. Dear friends, I sometimes think, and I won't throw this. I have an object here. I sometimes think that hearing the words of Jesus can be compared to evaluating the price and worth of a gem. That's a long sentence there. I dug this up in the ground. It's a priceless gem here. It says made in China on the back. It's plastic, don't worry. But it would hurt if I threw it at you. Some people look a long time in their life to find a gem. And if they just find one, that fulfills their heart. And when someone finds a gem or a precious rock, they do a couple things. They really treasure it and hold on to it very tightly, and they make sure to evaluate it to get the exact worth so they can understand it and appreciate it as much as they can. Well, how do you evaluate the worth of a gem? How do you do that? I'm not an expert in it. My dad would take me out to look for rocks and all sorts of things in Montana, and I failed miserably in determining what was of good value. But what my dad taught me was that what you don't do, and I did it all the time, is you don't just look at one face of the gem when you pull it out of the ground. People that do this, and I did it all the time, they look at that one side, and they don't consider the entire gem and all the faces that it has. And they come to a hasty conclusion. They oftentimes put it down back in the ground or move on, and they really don't think it's all that valuable. Someone who knows how to evaluate gems, though, they do something different. They're not hasty in their evaluation. You see, they look at all the faces of the rock. They carefully do this. It sometimes takes a long time, and they have to have special equipment and fine-tuning. And then they come to the realization that the gem is worth something, and they hold on to it, and they basically keep it as their greatest treasure that they have. I'm not an expert in gems, but this is what I'm told. Now, I think it works the same way in hearing the words of Jesus, my friend. Sometimes when we look at Jesus' words and we just look at one face of it, just the one saying or the one verse from the Bible, we can set it aside and think that Jesus is not a great gem and not of great worth. You see, if we look at Jesus and consider all the words that he says and all the faces that he shows to us, I promise you, and in my message today, you will come to the realization that Jesus is the greatest gem and treasure in your life. That's where we are in John chapter 6, I believe. See, these disciples, a whole bunch of them have been following Jesus around, and then Jesus comes to a point where he says some really hard things. Did you catch what he said there in verse, I think it was around chapter 6, verse 54 and 55. Jesus says this, "Truly, truly," now whenever Jesus says truly, truly, he's saying pay attention. He's throwing something at his disciples. That's what that means. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a person eats the flesh of the Son of Man and drinks his blood, there is no life in him. But whoever eats of my flesh and drinks of my blood, they have life in them, and I will raise them up on the last day," Jesus says. That is some crazy stuff right there. In fact, it's so crazy, my friends. In the first century, there were non-Christians that accused Christians in this very text that they were cannibals, that they were out of their mind. And when Jesus said these words, you see, when Jesus said these words, some of them come to the conclusion and they say, you know what? This is a hard saying. This is tough. They have questions. But here's the difference. Many of those disciples with Jesus, they looked at his one word, And they made an evaluation, and they walked away from Jesus forever. You know, kind of like someone missing the true value of a gem, looking at one side and just tossing it down into the ground. The other disciples that were with Jesus, you see, they've got questions too. They don't really understand what Jesus is saying. Whoever eats of the flesh of the Son of Man and drinks his blood has eternal life. But you see, they stick with Jesus. And they wait to see more of his teachings and wait to see what he's going to do in the very end. And what they find out is that, yes, Jesus was worth it. Jesus is a precious treasure. Friends, we're kind of in the same position as these disciples, aren't we? Do you have questions about what Jesus says, about what God is doing in your life? We all do. Do you guys have questions about what God does and what God says? We all do. Jesus says some harsh things in the Bible. We can't sugarcoat it. He says this to someone who's mourning and grieving the loss of a loved one. He says, "Let the dead bury the dead." Jesus then says to someone who has a whole bunch of possessions, Jesus says, "Go sell all your possessions." That makes you scratch your head and wonder what he's trying to say. Friends, we all have questions about what God has done in our life, what he will do in our life. Why did that season come into my life that came that one time? Questions about the Bible. We have them all the time in Bible study. Why is there violence in the Bible? Why did God choose these personalities and these peoples? And why didn't he choose those people and those personalities? And the tough parts of the Bible where Jesus says, "No one can come to the Father except by me." We scratch our heads, all sorts of questions. Now this morning, what I want to get across, really, and especially with our youth, it's okay to have questions. That's healthy. That's a good thing. That's an excellent thing. Sometimes we've gotten that backwards in the church. We've said that the church should be all about answers, not questions. Unquestioned answers is what the church should be about. You know, you're going through confirmation right now. You're getting answers from the pastors. You can come away with the idea that church is just about getting the right answers and smiling on confirmation day and getting it all right. You know, there's a story about a little child who thought that church and prayer was all about answers. The story goes like this. There was a 5-year-old girl. She was the daughter of the preacher, and she noticed that whenever the preacher, her father, when he was going to go up and give a sermon, he would stop and pray for it to take a few moments of silence. And so the 5-year-old came up to her father and said, "Dad, why do you stop and pray before you give a sermon?" And the father was really proud that his daughter paid attention to his every movement. His heart beat a little bit more. And he said, "Well, I pray before I give a sermon so that God will allow me to give a good sermon." And the daughter thought a little while, and she said, "Well, how come God doesn't answer any of your prayers?" Now, we joke about that. Hey, but don't we make that mistake? We think that church and God and pastors, that we're all about answers. That the church should be a house full of answers for all the struggles in life. We've gotten it wrong. The church is actually filled with lots of questions and mysteries. See, the more that I study the Bible, I've been doing it for a long time, actually, the more I scratch my head, I have more questions now than answers. Talk to me in a couple of years, I'll probably have even more questions than answers. But actually, as we understand the Gospels and Jesus' ministry with his disciples, Jesus allows for questions. He lets them just stay out there. Jesus isn't just about giving easy answers. He's about letting questions hang out there. But what Jesus wants from his people is to hang on and consider all the angles, all the statements, and all the actions that he does. That's what the Gospels are about. Staying with Jesus in spite of the questions. And those disciples that were there with him stayed with him. stayed with him to the point in which he commanded the seas with just his mouth and just with a word of command, that must have brought up more questions. How does he do that? He's defying science. But they stayed with Jesus, and so do we. They stayed with Jesus and considered another side to him where he healed people with diseases. They just touched the sleeve of his garment. That defies science and how things are supposed to work. That brought a whole bunch of questions, but they stayed with Jesus. Then Jesus gave words of comfort and promises that no one had ever made promises like that. But they stayed with Jesus. It brought up more questions. But you see, Jesus then went to the cross and died. And those disciples who had all those questions, all of a sudden, looked at the gem of Jesus and realized that Jesus was a gem of great worth. And so he is for you. We come to the conclusion of Peter, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." And the reality for us today is this. Jesus came not to save us from our questions. Church isn't about questions and getting the right answers. Jesus came to save us from our sins and to give us eternal life. That's what it's all about, my friends. Well, today, I lost my place here. I hate it when that happens. I want to make sure I get this right. In a lot of ways, I don't want to come across that it's our goal to stick with Jesus all the way to the end and wait until we can come to his full value and worth for us. You know, it's really about Jesus sticks by us. He's faithful to us with all the doubt and wavering and questions that we have. You know, we heard these words from Peter in our gospel today. He says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." And we think that he says these boldly with a deep bass voice. "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." But you know what? We know who Peter is. Peter is a man of questions and lots of doubts. I think Peter might have just said it this way. "Lord, you are the one who has eternal life. I think you do, at least. Lord, to whom shall we go? We've checked out all the other options. I guess we'll go with you. You have the words of eternal life." See, in the Lutheran church, right before the gospel is said, we have sung those words of Peter's. "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." And the congregation is supposed to stand when those words are spoken. But sometimes when we come to church, we're so filled with questions and doubts, we say those words, "Lord, to whom shall we go? We've checked out everything. I don't know. You have the words of eternal life, I hope." The point is this. Jesus is faithful to you. With the questions, with confidence in life, Jesus remains by your side and he's faithful to you. He's a precious gem because he's so faithful to you. Hard sayings. We have them all the time. Who gives us hard sayings? Oftentimes it's the people that we love. Our parents say something that's very hard and tough. Our friends say something that's very hard and tough. And what we need to do in those moments that we hear those hard things is we need to consider the heart of the person that is saying them. And as we find out today, we find out that Jesus' heart is for us. His heart is to do whatever he can to give us eternal life. So the next time you come across, and there's always times in the Bible where we come across hard sayings, hold on and stick to Jesus and go forward with him until the point that he shows himself on the cross and shows his heart for you. "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Let's pray about that this morning. Lord, today we come before you and recognize that oftentimes faith is not about having unquestioned answers. Sometimes faith is about having questions, but sticking to Jesus. We thank you for your Son sticking to us, each one of us. Guide us today in each step that we take in greater confidence in him, so that we can always say with our lips, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Amen.